said good evening to Dr. Henry Nyman Friday night, we projected that there would be a lot of developments over the weekend, and we got that and more. There is a tremendous amount of news. News is posted now. It's up there at the top of headlines. You'll find it. And if you do nothing else, please read the headlines. It'll give you a good handle on generally what's happening. Let me run down some of the headlines real quick before I bring Henry on, just to give you an idea, those of you who are not online right now. San Diego, California has a confirmed case of coronavirus. A person with a China travel history in Bozeman, Montana, now in a hospital there, being checked for possible coronavirus infection. Total of 133 or thereabout are now infected on the virus-laden Corona Princess cruise ship after only limited testing of those who report symptoms. In fact, those are the only people being tested now on that ship, with over 3,700 people. So there you go. 133 or thereabout positive. Tests total about 435. I may be off a little bit, but you get the idea. We're running at about one-third positive test results. 133 of 435. Okay? 25 Americans are now quarantined on the Corona Princess cruise ship. They are infected. And the next one here, let's go down to this one. These are stories, you can read them. Does a sudden surge in sulfur dioxide aroma and the large dark cloud of haze hanging over the city in Wuhan indicate an enormous surge in the number of cremations going on in Wuhan and perhaps in other places in China as well? We're not sure about that. We're getting conflicting reports. A Wuhan physician says the death rate is up to 5% now. That may be quite an understatement. Mask wearing is now the law in Beijing, as it and Shanghai both impose new controls on residents there. Two coronavirus cases in the same building, 10 stories apart, in Hong Kong, lead to evacuations there. So how did two people in the same building, 10 floors apart, become infected? Could have been just happenstance. They may have been out and got infected. We don't know. The chances of being transferred among the residents in the building are certainly there, either in elevators or through the HVA system in the building, which is usually one centralized system. Somebody's sick in a room, and the return air duct in the room sucks in viruses from that person who may be coughing or sneezing, or a toilet flush fills the air with micro droplets, tens of thousands of them, each one of which can possibly be carrying a virus or a bacteria. And they can go right into the return air duct, up to the main central vacuum pump, which pushes the air through the building and then puts it in different rooms. We don't know. These are all just possibles. An interesting story, how one man spread the coronavirus from Singapore to the UK via the Alps without setting one foot in China. Henry has that story covered as well on recombinomics.com. All right, the UK is warning of a serious and imminent threat as their infections now double to 8. We've just got a lot of news, so let's jump right to it now with Henry. Welcome back, Henry. It was indeed a very busy and rather shocking weekend.
Yeah, it was, and still don't have an update yet on the ship for today. But yesterday was the big day on the ship, and it wasn't just the number, it was the frequency. There were only a little over 100 that were tested, and 65 were positive. So 65 out of, I think, 103 or something. So that result was significant for 2 points. It not only doubled the number that were infected on the ship, but it was one of the highest frequencies. And all of these patients would have developed symptoms since they took the initial samples, because the initial set of samples came from the symptomatic cases, which were 120, and something like 150 contacts. So that's who was originally tested over 3 days, and that's what accounted for the first 61. But to get the 61 there, they had to test 273, whereas to get to 65 yesterday, they only had to test 103. So it was twice as common in people that have developed symptoms since the first collection, which is a strong indication that it's transmitting in the ship. And the distribution of the positive cases was very similar to basically who was there, and kind of matched what happened in the first round. The first round had the most, the highest was in Japanese, and they represented about half of the passengers. So they had 28 positives in the first test, and they had 45 positives in the second test. And number two was the U.S., and the U.S. had 11 positives in the first run and 11 positives in the most recent, and they actually had a couple in between is how they got the 25. There were some smaller tests. Australia was third the first time with 7, and they were third the second time with 4. So it's following the same pattern, and it sounds more like it's not from one person or a couple people, but it's basically going through the entire ship. And it went through the first round to come up with the 61 plus a few more to get up to 70. It was actually up to
remember
70
also,
before.
Henry, one important thing about that ship, a lot of the people are not on the outer cabins. They're inside on interior cabins. And the only way they can get fresh air is through the ship's central HVAC system. Now, a lot of it could be being pushed.
They let them out. A, they let them walk around, and B, they feed them. So, you know,
those are also vectors.
My guess is that they've got these guys in hazmat suits that are basically delivering the food and picking up the trays. And they cross-contaminate when they go from room to room. So
basically,
they're getting the virus on the outside of theirs. So they're not getting sick, but the people that are handing over their trays or eating the food are just moving those the virus around. And so they're obviously in a very dangerous situation. And the fact that they've got 3,650 still sitting on the ship, I mean, just to clarify, the U.S. cases are not, the positives are not quarantined. They're in a hospital. There's actually three hospitals. So there's three hospitals in Japan that are taking all of the confirmed cases. So the 135 confirmed are off the ship. But in spite of the removal of the known positives, they're still going up, and I keep hitting refresh to see what today's numbers are going to be. But this is all as of yesterday, so there hasn't been an update yet.
And that's not a good sign.
There wasn't a hint as to how many they've collected, and they may lag. I mean, it could be that they waited for these results today on Monday, and then they decided that they better go collect some more samples. And so they might not get those results till tomorrow or the next day. So
people are asking,
refresh.
Why don't they test everybody on the damn boat? Just test everyone.
I know. It's not somebody. I think almost everybody's asking that. The idea that they've got 3,600 people on there, and the assay is relatively sensitive. So the assay can pick up positives before they're symptomatic. I mean, one of the cases from Oregon was positive, and she didn't have any symptoms. And then she right. went off the ship, and 2 days later, she did have symptoms, and not because she went in the hospital, but because she was already infected, and the assay picked it up, and it picked it up early. And so they could probably identify a lot of people that are already infected but aren't showing right. symptoms yet, or are kind of borderline. And yeah, I think the passengers are taking their temperature and reporting their temperature, and they're only calling those that are a degree centigrade above normal is having a temperature. But, you know, I don't know if you recall, with swine flu, about 50% of the cases did not have a temperature. So the temperature is not foolproof. And so there are others that they're probably... are just like a half a degree. I mean, a half a degree centigrade is a full degree Fahrenheit. So they got temperature. So they're not counting people that are, you know, 99.6 or something. Those that are 99 something are not being counted as symptomatic. They got to get above 100.
There could be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of infected people right now on that ship.
So they've got these people that they're saying don't have symptoms, but in reality, they've got a different people run a little bit differently. And you know, some people aren't 98.6, they're 97.6 most of the time. So if they get up to 99, they know they've got a fever, even though it doesn't meet their criteria of 1 degree centigrade, which is about 2 degrees Fahrenheit. So, you know, the whole thing is stupid. And the fact that they're holding these people there, they're putting them at risk. They're making it clear to the world they have no idea what they're doing. They're mismanaging 3,000 people. And nobody's going to go into any quarantines anywhere. Not just the lawyers. They have these plans that they're going to control this. And, you know, just here, spoiler alert, this is beyond control, okay? So, I mean, the case you're talking about that went to these three different countries without setting foot in, I've got a lot more specifics.
Let me repeat what Henry just said. This situation is now beyond control. All right? Now we're going to fill in some of the blanks there. But Henry's been on this every day. We did our first program on this on January the 8th, over a month ago. And we've been following it every step of the way. And at this point in time, it's out of the bag and it's not going back in the bottle.
Close as many barn doors as you want. You're not getting the ones that are outside of the barn into the barn by closing the door behind them. I mean, it is over. This is out and about. And the guy from Singapore, you know, should make it crystal clear to everybody listening to this on exactly why it's over. You know, there's no controlling this particular virus anytime soon. And the story that you mentioned without setting foot in China is absolutely true. This is a businessman, okay, who's now been called super spreader by several different media organizations anyway. But he went to Singapore for a business meeting, okay, and there were 100 people in the meeting, all right. He left Singapore to meet his family at a ski resort in France. But the reason he was meeting him at a ski resort in France is he was going to another business meeting, which had 75 people in it, in the town where the ski resort was. Then after he went to the second meeting that had 75 people in France, he went skiing with his family and another group. So there were about 11 of them that were skiing in France. And then the other group ended up being tested and are in France. He went back to England with his family. And he went to see a local doctor because he heard that somebody at the meeting in Singapore was infected. So he wasn't even sick, okay? He went to the doctor in Brighton, England, and he infected the doctor there. And then another doctor there got infected. And then the kids went to school, and it's not clear whether people at the school are infected, but the school's closed where the kids went to elementary and secondary mm-hmm. school. So there's two schools that they went to. I don't know if they're both, you know, in the same building, and it's a small school. I don't know how big. I do know. The school's got 261 students. So there's 261 at the school. School's closed down. It's not clear, but it sounds like staff and students are showing symptoms at the school. Okay. And then there's another guy that was at the sea resort. He went to Majorca off the coast of Spain. He's gone there. Okay. The guy in Majorca is positive. There's five in France that are positive. There's now six in England that are positive, and they're all linked to this one guy. And the only reason all of these people got tested is he heard that somebody back in Singapore was infected with the virus.
Right, right.
So he really wasn't sick enough to go to the doctor, except that he heard about this. And all of the people that are positive weren't really sick enough to go to the doctor. So the only reason you know about these 11 people mm-hmm. that are positive now, lab confirmed positive, is because he heard that somebody in Singapore was positive. So he went to the doctor. And then when he was positive, then all of these contacts ended up being tested and they became yeah. positive. And so yeah. you've got one, and if you look at the numbers, that most of the people in England, there's now eight confirmed cases. Six of them are this guy and five others that are associated with him. If you look at what's in France, I think they've got 11 and five of them are associated with him. If you look right. at Spain, they've got two and one of them's associated with him. Right. And there's no telling how many other people at either of the meetings were also infected.
Could be dozens.
Right.
We don't know.
Right,
we just
right.
don't know.
The point is the virus is in Spain. The virus is in France. The virus is in England. And the only reason they know where it is from this group is because he heard about somebody in Singapore testing positive. That's the only reason all these people were tested. So had he not heard about it, none of these people would have been tested, and they would continue spreading the virus. And nobody would know about it until somebody got sick enough to go to the doctor and
that could be 2 weeks.
Pneumonia and have pneumonia and have them do an X-ray and say, this is atypical pneumonia. Where have you been? And they'll say, I've been anywhere. I've been skiing in France. or I've been going to school in Southampton at the UK. And all of a sudden, they won't trace any of these back. I mean, if somebody 2 weeks from now is positive because they got pneumonia, they'll have no idea how they got infected.
And that's
what's called community transmission. So this is somebody in the community infected somebody else in the community. And when that person went to the doctor, they said, where have you been to China? Have you been to Singapore? And they'll just say, no, I haven't been out of the country in, you know, 6 months. And
see how it works, everyone. This is a perfect case in point. This is a classic case of community transmission, and this is how it works.
Right.
We just got another report in. South Korea, Vietnam, new infections, including a 3-month-old baby. So it's on the march.
Well, if you take a look, another story is about, it's undeniable that there's community transmission in Hong Kong. And Hong Kong is very good about keeping tabs on its positives. And they give you the age, they give you the gender, they give you where the person lives, they give you the address, they give you if it's an imported case, they give you if it's a local case, they give you if they're linked together, you know, if it's a contact. And they've got a list. And the list has got 42 positives in it. And if you look at that list, the first 10 all say imported. So all of the first 10 cases they had came probably from China. So they've got imports from China are the first 10. And then if you look at the next 32, because they're up to 42 now, 3 of the next 32 are imported. 29 of the 32, a few of them are contacts of people that were imported. And the rest are unknown, probable local transmission. So in Hong Kong, most of the cases, and they've had a big explosion of cases since Friday. So they're getting 6, 8, 10 positives a day in Hong Kong, and they're all local transmissions. And then it got capped off with the two that you mentioned. They're in the same building. It's a 35-story apartment building. And they both are on the one's on top of the other, 10 stories up, but they're both have the same sewage system. So they're apartment number 7 something, whatever floor they're on, it ends in a 7. And everybody on all 30, I think 4 floors, I don't think they have any apartments on the main floor. For the 34 floors of apartments, your apartment number ends in a 7. You're evacuated. So they've evacuated 35 families or 34 families, and they're testing them now. And then they're looking at the plumbing and to make sure that all of the joints, there's U-joints, and the U-joints come loose if they're not kept moist, I guess. And when they come loose, and then they can release virus when you flush the toilet, for instance. And that's what happened in the Amoy Gardens back in 2003. And that was another very large housing complex. And somebody was infected with SARS, and they vomited into their bathroom in the toilet. They flushed it. And, or they had diarrhea. I'm not even sure what it was, but whatever it was something went in the toilet and got flushed. And they ended up with, 341 positive SARS cases in that complex. And, I think they had something like 42 deaths in that complex from those 340.
It was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one of the big moments where, and that happened in April. You know, that didn't happen in January or February like this outbreak. That happened in April. And gives you an idea, you know, when this is going to be over. It's not likely to be over anytime soon. And the fact that the virus is transmitting silently. I mean, people are getting infected. They are, and I mean, China just changed their definition just before I get by this so I don't forget. They're not even counting asymptomatic cases that are PCR confirmed. They're not even counting mild cases that are PCR confirmed. They're only counting what was in the case definition, and that was somebody with pneumonia. So they consider somebody that's positive for this virus and have pneumonia a confirmed case. And so, remember I told you that the suspect cases were PCR confirmed?
Yeah.
Well, now when they get to Wuhan, they're not saying, oh, this is suspect and now it's confirmed. They're saying, oh, this is suspect, but they don't have pneumonia. This isn't a case, and I throw it out. Okay.
Wow.
And so their cases are up to 42,632 today. But those cases do not include PCR confirmed cases that are asymptomatic or are mild. And so that gives you an idea, because they would have way too many cases, because they are picking up the milder ones as contact, and they are picking up the more severe ones, and they're focusing on the severe ones. So all of a sudden, their numbers aren't going up as quickly. They went up about 2,500 today instead of 3,000. And the reason they're not going up as quickly is that they're throwing out the ones that are infected, but they're not serious cases. And that is why the ones that are being exported, and people are saying, well, you know, it's really not that bad. These guys are asymptomatic. And that's true. I mean, you can get infected by this virus and have a very mild disease. You can have like a cold virus, other viruses where you just have a cold, or you might not develop any symptoms at all. And that's what some of these other large clusters are. That's what happened in Germany. If you remember, the associate came from Singapore. She went to Germany.
Yeah.
And she went to a meeting, and she infected. First, there was one guy that got infected. He was symptomatic. He ended up, but he didn't get pneumonia. He went home. He stayed home for the weekend, and he came back to work like on Monday or Tuesday. You know, he was only out of work for a day or two, and he didn't get that sick. But he managed to infect like four other workers, and then they got tested, and they were confirmed. And then one of them ended up, first one of his kids was positive, then another kid was positive, then his wife was positive, but they were just positive. They were still asymptomatic. And then another worker had his wife was positive. And then another worker went to the Canary Islands, and he was positive. And so you've got this large cluster involving a lot of people. But none of them are that sick, but they're able to transmit the virus. And it's the same thing with this guy. This guy, basically, you know, the one from Singapore, he's got like 11, 12 people that are linked to him that are all positive, but they're all asymptomatic or they have mild disease. And that's why the idea that you're going to go ahead and screen these people and know who's got the virus and know who doesn't by, you know, doing a temperature check
it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous.
Or saying, did you come from Wuhan?
Yeah.
Is, you know, that, and it's not just China. I mean, Singapore and Hong Kong both have extensive community transmission. And I don't know how many Americans are in Hong Kong. I think it's 60,000 or something.
It's a lot. How would you recommend the Japanese handle the Corona Princess cruise ship disaster right now, which is what it is? It's getting worse every day. What would you suggest they do?
They need to get everybody off that ship. They need to test them, find out who is positive and who isn't. The ones that are positive, they should go to a hospital. The ones that aren't, they should be quarantined, but they should be quarantined at a facility where they're equipped to handle quarantined people that may very well have the virus. And the reason they're quarantined for 14 days is because they can be infected and test negative and not test positive until many days afterwards. So they want to be sure that they do not have the virus before they let them go on their way. So they should be quarantined until they have gone 14 days without being positive on a test. But they should not be on a ship where there's already been 135 cases, and they have no clue why these people are infected. And I take it back. They do have a clue, but they haven't made it public. They have a pretty good idea who the second bastard where they got 65 positives, and whether these 65 positives were among the ones that were contacts and tested negative, or whether they were symptomatic but initially tested negative, but now they've got stronger symptoms. They have a pretty good idea who the second batch is. The world knows the second batch is a big batch. It's got a lot of positives, and they didn't test very many to get them. They only tested 105, and they got 65 positives. So the chances are likely that these are new cases, and that they're not among the ones they looked at before. If there's some overlap, it's not complete overlap. So these are new cases that have developed, and the numbers are going up. And I can virtually guarantee you that the next time they test, they're going to get a bunch of new positives. And whether they're going to get them today or not,
of course.
I don't know.
Of course.
Right. If they didn't announce anything today, that's not a good sign. It looks to me like they're sitting on some big numbers.
No, I'm not sure they got the samples yet. I think that they got this big batch, and they tested them. And they had an idea, but they didn't know for sure that they were going to get 65 positives. And then once they got 65 positives, then they realized that they may be debating whether they're going to, you know, take the next batch that are symptomatic or whether they're going to just test everybody. And they should test everybody. But
absolutely, you know, should have been doing that from day one.
So it's unclear, and frankly, that may be what's going on. I don't know. These people have internet access, so I don't know if there's been updates and they've said they're coming about. Yeah, I would think if they're testing everybody, word would have gotten out, and I haven't really seen anything saying that they're testing everybody. But,
all right,
you know, it may be a logistic thing. Yeah, they may not have the personnel to collect 3,600 samples. You know, they can collect 100 at a time or 200 at a time, but not.
I don't know.
3,000.
It's going to be an agony process. More and more people are going to become infected. That ship is just it's a Hollywood horror film.
Right, and I think you're right. There will be a lot of lawsuits because these guys are basically held, and you know any competent MD is going to tell you you're nuts. You can't leave all these people on a ship that you've already know is contaminated. And, you know, according to some of the people, if there's two people in the room and one's positive, they go out and they don't clean the room. The other person's guaranteed they're going to get sick no matter what. If they're
100%.
Sitting in the same room where somebody is already positive and already been extracted, and they're sitting behind saying, well, when am I leaving? And I'll say, oh, about 14 days. And they're going to leave before 14 days, but not because their quarantine's up. They're going to leave because they've got a fever.
They're sick. So, those people get off the ship, the sick people, everyone else. All right. Now let's go to this Miles fellow, 73rd richest man in China, who was booted out by the party. They didn't like him. And his statement about the number of actual deaths and the cremations going on there. And I'll just play a little of this. It's not the long clip. It's a short clip. And he's a little tough to understand, but I want everyone to hear this, because he clearly has lots of connections in China and Wuhan. And this is what he says.
And Pro 2 Li is the 49
the 24 hours work, they burn the dead of the body every day.
Okay, I'm going to back that up. When he says 49, he's talking about the number of crematories. Now, this is his opinion. We cannot certify this, but it's very compelling to think about. Here we go. The total number of crematories.
Wuhan totally is the 49. The 24 hours work, they burn the death of the body. Every day is 1,200. They work at, you know, more than 17 days. Only
17 days, 1,200 bodies burned by 49 crematories per day. And that, he says, was only in Wuhan. And now he says they...
But now they are in the megapolis. It's a quarantine.
They're doing a metropolitan. He says it's a metropolis, a huge city, in other words. The total number in quarantine, he says, next is 250 million, but it's actually 415 million now by the totals that I've seen.
All the China is 250 million people. How many people really get the, you know, confirmed case? And, you know, this is outbreak. But, you know, this is the outbreak in half of China, 200 million people. So I got the inside information.
So I got inside information that the truth is...
1.5 million people is, you know, is the not only emotion, is the confirmed case. And the deaths of the people now is the burned body, more than 50,000, not 30,000, after the now.
So he's saying up to 50,000 people, at least, and this is 3 days ago, have been burned in crematories. Henry, is he possibly close to being correct, or is he just blowing smoke?
I don't know. It's hard to say what the actual number was. I mean, I've seen the sudden deaths and seen the videos of it, and I've seen, you know, some of the hospitals where they're showing 8, 10,
people dropping
people
in the streets. People getting welded into their homes, too, by the way. Literally. They welded bars across the doors.
So, you know, I would think that the confirmed deaths is an undercount, because I'm not sure how many of the fatal cases are actually getting tested. And the numbers, I mean, the only real data you have are the ones that are coming out. And the ones that are coming out so far have been milder than, you know, what he's describing for sure. But, I mean, part of the problem with a virus like this is when you get it heavily concentrated and you have a lot of people infected, you know, a lot of this is based on viral load. I mean, the sequences that are coming out of China and the sequences that are present here in the United States are really very similar. I mean, there's not a big difference. And the sequences coming out of China just increased fairly dramatically in the last couple of days. And these are more recent. These were cases that were collected in mid to late January, and a lot of the, you know, there's 95 sequences that are now publicly available. And there's a little bit, I mean, all of the sequences, all the confirmed cases in the U.S. are available except for one in Northern California and the one today from San Diego. But even Boston has already been done. So the U.S. is right on top of it. And so they've got, there's 13 cases now. So 11 U.S. sequences are out, I believe, 10 or 11. And sequences are coming from Vietnam and South Korea and Australia. And so there's nothing dramatically different about these sequences than the ones in China. I mean, they're all essentially the same. They've got the same... mutations of polymorphisms, and there's different combinations. And you know, the cluster in Northern California and San Benito, those sequences are out, and they kind of match sequences from Fosun in Guangdong province, and so does the Wisconsin sequences already, and that also has that. So there's nothing that looks dramatically different between what's here and what's in China, and so far you're not getting. You know, the number of deaths outside of China has been pretty small. And, only been a couple, really. There's one in Hong Kong and one in the Philippines. So.
Let me ask you another question. We talked earlier today, and you said that in your opinion, there probably are a number of cases under the radar here in the U.S. right now. You want to spell that out a little more?
Yeah. I mean, the guy from Singapore is a good example. That the only reason he was tested is because he heard about a case in Singapore. If he hadn't heard about the case in Singapore, he would assume, well, he went to Singapore, he feels fine, you know, he doesn't really, he didn't get infected, and he went there, I don't know the exact dates, I think he went there over 2 weeks ago. So when he was there, there weren't even that much, that many cases that hinted at community transmission. Those were just cases that were coming out of China. He didn't go to China. He went to Singapore, and then he went to the Alps, and then he took a plane from Geneva. So, I mean, he was in Switzerland and France and Singapore. He never set foot in China. And I'm not sure where, you know, the other 100 people at the business meeting were from. But so he would be a good example of somebody that would have come back, would not have gone to a doctor, would have infected his whole family, infected the family that he was skiing with. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he affected the doctors is he went to the doctor because he heard about this place in Singapore. So the idea is that there have been people coming and going from Hong Kong and Singapore, you know, and then the last couple of weeks, for certain, some of those people would be just like this guy. They would have come back. They don't have any symptoms. They feel fine. Maybe they would have a little bit of a cold. And they would say, well, I'll go to the doctor if it gets worse. And if it doesn't get worse, they don't. But that doesn't mean that because they didn't go to the doctor and because they didn't get tested, that they're not transmitting. And it doesn't mean that whoever they transmit to isn't transmitting. I mean, I can give you a good example. The good example is the swine flu, okay? In swine flu, the first two cases in the United States were in Southern California. And they were both in boys, and they were in adjacent counties. One was in San Diego County. One was in Imperial County. Mm-hmm. And they both ended up getting tested. They both had swine flu. They both had no contact with swine. And they essentially had the same sequence. And as soon as that information came out, that you had two individuals that had no contact with each other, no contact with swine, and were like 100 miles apart, and they've got the same sequence, you knew that there were a whole lot of people between those two points that had the same virus. And when they went back and they started interviewing doctors in San Diego, they said, well, you know, I remember the red eyes. I remember these patients came in and they had these red eyes. And, you know, we didn't know what was causing them, but their eyes were so red. And that's one of the signs of swine flu. They weren't diagnosed with swine flu. Mm-hmm. The doctors recalled seeing the patients. The patients were transmitting the virus. A lot of people were getting infected long before these two cases were identified. And even when the two cases were identified, they went back to their families and say, do you have flu-like symptoms? And they say, yeah, I remember having a little bit of something a couple of weeks ago, but I'm fine now. And they couldn't pick it up in their families because they had already recovered from it. But those two positives were indicative of hundreds of cases that were already in the United States before any case was officially confirmed.
Right. Okay.
And
all
it's
right,
the
good.
Same thing with this virus.
Good.
This virus. Okay. Go on.
The guy in Singapore was there. Just to give you an idea of the time frame on this, January 20th to the 22nd was his meeting.
Right.
He went
right.
skiing on the 24th.
And back in January 20th, there were very few cases in Singapore, officially.
Correct. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time there somehow. He went...
Right, but he didn't know it.
No, he didn't. From the 22nd...
January 20th, he had no idea that there was a lot of virus in Singapore.
No. He went skiing from the 24th to the 28th, and now here we are. It's been over three weeks since he went to that conference. Now we've got three nations? I guess three.
Besides Singapore, you got France, England, and Spain.
Four.
You got four altogether that you know about.
Yeah.
You have no idea what happened to the other 99 people at the meeting in Singapore, or what happened to the other 74 people at the meeting in I don't know, it's called, the name's a town.
It's actually weird
French,
because it's a
contaminant.
It's contaminants. It's C-O-N-T-A-M-I-N-E-S.
It's contaminated mountaintop or something. That's
contaminated mountain. Joie. Anyway, it's a weird name. But anyway, these things are just potentially all over the place building. We got a 2-week incubation period, 3 weeks since he's been to the conference.
Yeah.
We'll know a lot more by this weekend, I think, is what I'm saying.
Right. So, I mean, when they find out about this and guys start thinking, I was at that conference. And... Yeah, so-and-so, you know, they got a sore throat or something or this or that, and they go and they say, you know, maybe we should go see the doctor, make sure what's going on here. And then, bing, 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 all of a sudden you'll find, you know, who knows how many countries
the doctor.
They went to.
Right? He just went in there and got examined, and he infected the doctor. Boom.
He just infected like two doctors. Two doctors are among the contact of it. He's got two doctors and his whole family. And then he's got the whole family that was with him on the ski trip, but they're still stuck in France because they were identified there. And so there's one set in France, there's one set in England, and then there's this other guy that went to Majorca because he was, you know, going to some other resort or something off the coast of Spain. And this is
Canary
just
Islands,
one guy.
Well, I'll tell you, those people on the, my name, the Corona Princess cruise liner, ought to be screaming to high heavens to be let off that ship and tested.
There's no way they're going to be on that ship for another week. Because I'm telling you that the next run is going to have, I don't know how many positives. You know, and they're not even talking about how many people are symptomatic. And I haven't really looked at what kind of communications come. Although I saw some early ones that said, if it hits 200 or something, I'm going to get worried or something. I don't know. Those types of comments that, you know, it's bad, but, you know, maybe it's not that bad. And if it is that bad, then I'll get concerned.
They've got to get off. They've got to be repatriated. Their countries have to take care of them appropriately. The only hope they've got.
I mean, it's crazy. And these are the ones that are most at risk. I mean, a lot of these people are 60, 70 years old. I mean, these are retired people that are
That's
on a cruise.
Right.
They're sitting there and getting served food laden with virus. And they think that, you know, they're having a good time. And now they're all stuck in their rooms. So it's a ridiculous situation. WHO should be ashamed of themselves. And so should the U.S. and Japan. I mean, these are the guys that are saying, oh, we don't want them. You know, leave them on the ship.
And Trump should have gotten them off there immediately.
They appealed to him. They should have all been tested, and they should have divided them up. Those that are positive should have gone to the hospital, and those that weren't should have gone to, just like they repatriated
right.
the the ones in Wuhan. Actually, that's what happened with the guy in San Diego. San Diego one is from the repatriation. And but he's in a hospital. He's in. I mean, I know the hospital. My wife used to work there. And it's down in Hillcrest. It's UC San Diego's medical center.
Huh. No. And, all right. Thank you, Henry. Wild and getting worse. We'll be back tomorrow night, Henry. Thank you very much, as always.
Okay. Talk to you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D. And, there's our first of the week update on the NCOV, SARS 2.0 coronavirus. We're watching it for you. Back tomorrow night. Take care.